Leo was a clever boy. Born in the USSR on July 12, he had a very happy childhood. His parents worked and every year took their vacations on the Black Sea. Everything was perfect in those times. He liked to read and make clippings from the magazines he read. He himself put together books and pages with information that he considered valuable. He had a library with his magazine clippings, and he read the clipped articles many times. He lived in a humble apartment, but they were happy. So the years went by, and one day when he got up, he received the news that the powerful USSR was going to dissolve. During that time, he was 17 years old, just the year he had entered college. Leo wanted to be an electronic engineer, but he would have 5 long years to go. In the first days of the dissolution of the USSR, the republics suffer a large drop in productivity and inflation increases to 500% per week. The countries would enter a stage of Great Depression. There were also wars between the ex-republics, which were already independent. Chaos and evil seized the soul of the people. No one knew why and who was sending the brother countries to confront each other, but it was so. In those years, Leo asked almost every day, why? What do they want and who are they? Why did they destroy something that cost millions of lives to rebuild? He asked and asked, but could never find the answer. The country that let him in without asking many questions was Argentina. A new country for Leo. A very nice country that seemed to be at the level of the countries of Europe. Welcome to Argentina, said the plaque at Azaiza Airport. The weather was spectacular, it was summer and Leo came from winter. Just seeing people smiling everywhere gave him the idea that Buenos Aires was a great place to live. Then, by the year 1999, Leo did not know that in 2 more years, Argentina would be going through the same thing that happened in his country. Leo adapted himself very quickly to the city, and since he was very intelligent, he started working in just 3 months after his arrival. The companies hired him. He looked like a sponge since he learned very fast. He absorbed everything new around him. After 1 or 2 months in a job, he immediately changed his job for a better one. That good life did not last long. The year 2001 arrived and Buenos Aires went into chaos. It seemed that history was repeating itself. The evil would have already completed its mission. And it was December 27th of that year when the president was overthrown and others took command. Several people died. Argentina was a country sunk in depression, and Leo again had the same question: who does all this and why have they done it? In the city that once had smiling people, now you could only see sad and angry people. Buenos Aires had changed a lot by then. Leo had a coworker whose name was Jorge, who was an elderly person. He was one of those people who told a lot of bad jokes during work time. What does a wall say to another? See you at the corner. What did a buttock say to the other? There is a snitch between the two of us. They all laughed. One day at the break time, Leo asked Jorge, "What is happening in Argentina?" From one day to the next, there are people protesting, demanding, and blocking streets. And Jorge responded in a very serious way. "You know? That happens in Argentina almost every 10 years. We are already very used to it. Go on with what you are doing. Don't pay attention to that." It was something new for Leo, he did not understand. How can something similar happen every 10 years and why? Why did the banks keep the savings of the people? Why did not they let people dominate their savings? Everything ended again in the damn questions: who is behind all that? Who makes people suffer? Who causes inflation and a lack of money? Every day Leo came home late, prepared his food, and went to sleep, but always leaving the TV on. On TV, everything was different. You saw happy and rich people who did things that, just thinking about them, one could not afford. The media had great power to manipulate reality. It seemed that that served to cover how bad people felt. You changed channels and everything was the same. Everything was gossip, lust, and every so often murders, robberies, and things like that, and also many famous people. Who were they? What did they do? How did they live? Everything indicated that there was something strange behind that. One with his work could not buy the food of the day, and on TV you saw that there were people who spent a month's salary in a bottle of champagne. That was strange indeed, but for Argentina, it was very common. People here have already lived that way for centuries. The alarm went off. Leo got up and started to get ready to go to work. On the way to work, he asked himself again, why? How can it be? Why in this blessed country is there so much misery and lust at the same time? That was something he had become obsessed with. It was Monday, and sad news awaited Leo in the office. The company where he worked could not pay salaries due to the corralito. It was a new invention of the banks. The people or companies had the money, but they could not use it, and everything was under a limit. They could not pay salaries or make withdrawals. And so many companies went bankrupt. Listening to the news, Leo felt very unprotected, because the company only promised to pay when they had the money available. In those conditions, Leo could not continue working, and the following day, he submitted a resignation letter. His resignation was accepted in the company, they paid him what they owed him, and they said goodbye on good terms. Leo was out of work. He was unemployed, but he had some money. He was not one of those who mourned the loss of a job. Once at home, he had an idea in his head about how he was going to succeed. And the idea was to start working independently. It was 2002, and an idea like that seemed like science fiction. Questions came to his mind: who will give me work and how am I going to charge? It was all very new. He quickly bought the things he needed and was one of the first to pay for broadband. The internet connection had to be fast, that would allow him to surf all day and look for work. And he searched in Buenos Aires, in Cordoba, and nothing at all. What a surprise! Argentina was on fire, and it seems that the idea of working from home did not work. In Argentina, nobody gave work that way. Leo changed his strategy and began to look for work in the whole world. One day, a Saturday of the month of June of 2002, in his mail appeared a message from a Dutch industrialist who asked him if he agreed on doing some test jobs for a startup. When opening the mail and reading the invitation, without hesitation, Leo sent his approval and his contact information. He felt that if he passed the test, he could finally start to devote his time to things he loves to do, and in the end, he could have more time to find the answer to his big questions: who are the ones who make life impossible for the people and why? As expected, the Dutchman hired Leo, and his life changed completely. That first job opened the door to dozens of new clients, none of whom were residents of Argentina. Everything became very dynamic. Money was no longer a problem for Leo. It was true that he worked day and night, but every day everything was better, better for Leo, but nor for Argentina. In the most beautiful country of the world, the dark ones took power, and with all their deceits and lies, they were convincing people that it should be that way, that the near future would be better. They promised they would change and that everything would improve. But everything remained the same. As all good ideas come up suddenly, out of nowhere, one day Leo was watching something on YouTube and a video came across where he saw a boy from Spain who was explaining what democracy was like in ancient Greece, what their elections were like, and how they voted. Watching the video, ideas began to surround Leo. It seemed to be a good idea, that about ancient Greece, and for some reason politicians made it disappear. It seemed that it got lost in history, no one spoke about that system of democratic election anymore. A stone machine used by Athenian citizens in the democratic period sorted out the positions in the courts. The man who wanted to become a judge put a piece of wood or bronze in one of the grooves. White balls were mixed with black balls in numbers equal to the rows needed to complete the number of judges that had to be chosen that day, until completing the number of total rows. The balls were thrown by one side of the machine and fell down. Each black ball eliminated one candidate row, meanwhile the white ones confirmed them. That was called the El Claritarian. After watching the entire program, it seemed that Leo already had the answer to his usual question. The guilty ones are the politicians and the way the elections are organized, said Leo, that is the problem. The current system of electing presidents gives politicians a lot of power. It is neither democratic nor fair. It only grants power to those who have more money and influence. The most corrupt or the one who could buy more votes always wins. Those few people keep the vast majority of the population in ignorance. The mass media and the political parties made us believe that they were really working for the welfare of our people's lives and our country. But they only stole the money for their relatives. And all that theater was so well organized that people really believed that everything was fine, that it should be that way, that it was not bad if you did not have money and lived in poverty. The state would help them all, and the institutions were there with the same purpose, everything was good. It only depended on the people to go to work every day and pay 60% of their income to the public treasury so that the state would take charge of all the misery and the development of the country. Leo knew that all this was a universal fraud. He knew how everything worked. The money collected was spent on fictitious projects. The public works were overbought. They almost never spent what they agreed and left the works half finished. Argentina was now like a transparent organism where Leo could see how everything moved and how the cake was distributed. True, every so often people would come out to talk about the politicians' atrocities in cases of corruption and the amount of money spent on personal parties and trips. But, real or not, everything was billed as public expenses, not to give more details, because you can write one more book on how and when the politicians spent the money. That day after watching the TV program, Leo decided to put an end to the actual society model, which is composed of social classes, and in which the political party had the behavior of a parasite that was stealing the resources of the ordinary and hardworking people. Finishing the model of society that has been functioning for centuries was a great challenge, but Leo knew where to strike to suddenly finish with all those injustices. He would have to invent a new presidential voting system. It would be a new version of the old Claritarian, a software that connects to an artificial intelligence. It was the year 2015, and the world was already taken over by social networks, cryptocurrencies, and online payment systems. A large part of the population had access to broadband, and each year that number increased. Our privacy was no longer ours, but the corporations. Leo's idea was simple: to let the elections control a programmed artificial intelligence, AI, to be able to make decisions and elect public positions on a large scale. Anyone could register, it was open to all those who wanted to participate in the development of the country. The requirements were to pay an entry tax, add personal data, and choose the desired position to occupy. After 30 days, the AI would do a live broadcast to announce the winners and assign the positions randomly after pre-selecting the participants who complied with all the requirements. The algorithms that worked within the software should be programmed and, in theory, should be connected to the network, constantly collecting data on people who were registered as participants. It was not an easy task to do in these years. Leo started looking for collaborators. He published notices. He entered groups. One day he got an email from a certain Gerardo, who was a former programmer that had worked for Bridge and other large companies and who was interested in the project. What good news! At last someone who knows how this works, Leo thought. On the same day he sent him an email inviting him to go for a coffee and talk about the matter, to see how they could collaborate with one another and do something together. It was Friday. It was raining and it was very cold. Leo put on his coat and left the house. He had to get to the meeting with Gerardo. Gerardo was very excited as he had something else to tell him. The two arrived at the same time. They greeted each other and Leo began to tell him why he wanted to develop the AI, including the Claritarian program. Gerardo was a clever young man. It seemed that if you talked to him, he would understand you by just listening to a few words. Then when Leo finished saying the idea, Gerardo laughed and said,
"Dear Leo, they already beat you by an inch, and Bridge is behind the developing of that AI for commercial purposes and usage in its platform. In Bridge, they are working like a spider that collects and analyzes all user data, draws conclusions, and makes decisions. So, that system already exists. It could have other purposes such as the military and who knows what. You came a little late to it.
I would do everything to see how and what Bridge is programming. If only I knew someone that is within that project.
Luckily, Gerardo had many friends in the Bridge office in Argentina.
Look, Leo. I have a friend that worked or works in Bridge here in Buenos Aires, and I'll see if I can contact him.
I think it's great. If we can connect with a person who knows the subject well, he could be of great help. Days and days pass, and there is no news about Gerardo. Leo again communicates with him via email and receives a message from the answering machine that says, "Dear friends, I'm on vacation in Cancun, I'll be back in a week. One more week on hold." Leo was still working and making plans. It can't be that again some of his ideas have been developed before. It seemed normal that what you think, if you search a few days later, you can find someone who has achieved it or is working on the same project. In this world, it seems that everything is connected and flows from one to the others. The week passed, Gerardo replied to the email and said that he had a date to go see the friend at home. The programmer worked at home remotely and almost never went through the offices of Bridge. That was great, and Leo came up with another idea, which gave him one more chance to fulfill his dream. It was 2016, a summer Monday. Leo and Gerardo went to visit Diego. Diego was the typical nerd with glasses, who when looking at you always fixed his glasses. He had very bad eyesight, but he was a very intelligent boy. You could say that he was a genius as well as a kind and polite person. Gerardo introduced Leo to his friend Diego. He told Leo's ideas to him and also told him that they would like to take a look at the programs and tools he uses to develop that AI for Bridge. Diego said that he did not have full access to the project, but to a part of the server, hence he could only show and explain one part. Leo started asking questions and taking notes about what language and what kind of server it was, very technical things. And every time he wrote, something in his head kept giving the idea of being able to see everything. That part where Diego was participating was very basic, it did not help much. That day Leo was not empty-handed. He came with a virus and he was desperate to get it into Diego's machine. He needed more information about the accesses inside the Bridge server. Suddenly someone rang the bell. It was the delivery boy bringing an order. It was time to go eat. What a great opportunity for Leo. Diego went down to open the door and take the order. It was a pizza with a dozen empanadas and a beer. Leo did not waste a second, jumped in front of Diego's computer and quickly began adding files and typing. It took him less than 20 seconds and his virus was already in Diego's computer, giving access and sending important data to Leo. He also managed to send a couple of files to the Bridge server, which also became infected. But the virus was still inactive. That would not last long, since the Bridge managers would notice and eliminate it as soon as possible. Then suddenly Leo announces that he has a call and he has to go home to tend to a client. He apologized, left Diego and Gerardo, and went out of the house quickly. There was only one thing in his mind, to have enough time to get home before Bridge detected the virus. It was a matter of hours for Bridge to eliminate it. But luckily, he had that little time to get home. When he got home, and without taking off his cap, Leo throws himself before his computer and tries to connect to the server that Diego was using. The attempt fails, it seems that something prevents him from connecting. He tries one more time and he cannot achieve it. Something strange is happening, thought Leo. Suddenly, the idea arose that it could be that Diego was connected at that moment and that was the reason why he could not enter. He used the same access information as Diego. Now he had to wait until Diego got disconnected from the server. Again waiting. He scheduled to make the next attempt at 2 a.m., since at that time Diego would be disconnected and sleeping. For long hours pass. He did not know what to do, going up and down waiting for the time to reconnect. At 2 a.m., Leo tried again to connect with the bridge server, and, hallelujah, he could connect. Now he was seeing some things, but it was not what he was looking for. Once again, he began to upload the virus in order to download the names of the servers, passwords, and accesses. It was going great. He generated an Excel with data from 50 servers, also access to different folders and databases. It was time to see where the project of the AI was. Bridge had everything very neat, labeled with names and folders. To find that folder and the corresponding bases was very easy. He was virtually copying to a pen drive all the part of the AI with the database, APIs, files, and folders. He spent the whole night downloading thousands of files until he fell asleep. Leo fell asleep in the chair and at 8 a.m. he woke up. He already had a copy of what Bridge was developing. He went back in to see if he could download more, but he could not. The Bridge administrators had already detected the leak. They put a patch on it and they were already looking for him. It would take days or weeks for justice to come after Leo, and he already knew that. Now Leo had a little time to analyze what was in his hands and reconnect his creation to that AI. He was not worried about being captured soon. He had to keep working, separate things, and organize them. Besides, he downloaded much more than he needed. It was very surprising to see the projects that Bridge was developing. After finishing ordering the folders, no matter how important they were, Leo went for a walk. He felt he had done something wrong, but it was something that in his imagination would save him time and serve for the future change. He knew he had a goal, an idea, and now a mission to fulfill. He walked for about an hour. He was thinking about what to do with everything. Some things were insignificant, but others were of a high degree of security. He had everything. Returning home, Leo started working on his idea to program the Claritarian. The Claritarian would determine who would be chosen to be the next president. The idea was simple: from now on, no human would vote for another human. Everything should be at random, previously selected from a group of possible winners. He was not sure about how to do it. He had many questions, and some of them were almost impossible to answer, but that did not stop Leo from continuing to work. The following week, he already had the prototype of the application. He had the functions of generating the contest among the participants, but something was missing. How would the Claritarian determine who would be the winner? At first, it was random, like a lottery. In the following tests, he simulated a presidential election, but he did not like the results since the AI would choose anything, that is, any person could be the next president, and that was not the idea. Then, reviewing the algorithms of Bridge, he realized that he could filter and sort all people, and based on their qualities, give values, and that would be an option when choosing the candidate. It seemed simple, but now it was impossible to fulfill. The following days, Leo polished the application; it was ready to be used. Only one part was missing: how to connect it to the AI and synchronize them. In the same week, there was a report about the apprehension of the hackers who entered the Bridge server. Diego was the first to be arrested. They took him and left him under arrest with the accusation of misusing his duties in the workplace. Poor Diego. He did not understand what was happening or why they accused him if he only did his job every day, nor did he have all the data that the police agents were looking for. The next day, as expected, the police officers arrived and took him to do the interrogation. As soon as he entered the police station, he answered a couple of questions. He was arrested with the accusation of hacking and introducing malicious programs into the Bridge servers. Leo did not deny the fact. He also said that he was doing that so that in the future everyone could live better and that his ultimate goal was to free society from political parasites. In addition, he spoke about the benefits of his work, but the people of justice were not interested in what he was saying. A crime was committed and there has to be a conviction. The next morning, the judge's decision was already in place. Leo had been sentenced to 8 years in prison. The sentence would be carried out the same day. On September 18, Leo was already in the prison of Devoto, in a cell with three more convicts. he was not afraid of being in prison. The only thing he thought about was whether his work had remained on the network, wondering if the agents had not found a way to delete the files from the cloud. The first day in prison, Leo met people of all kinds. Some approached and invited him to chat. The inmates wanted to know who he was and why he was there. The first to speak to him was Jose, an inmate who was sentenced for 20 years and had already served 10. He was one of the oldest inmates, and the others respected him. All night, Leo told him about the Claritarian and what the future will be like if he could change the voting system. That was a science fiction story. Jose also hated politicians, because he was convinced that all the misery of the people came from them. He also said that many of those who were prisoners were the direct result of politics, that in the current system those people were discarded as garbage and were used as tools to manipulate the rest of the population. Of everything Leo told Jose, he liked the idea that he will leave the political class in Argentina powerless. He liked it so much that he told Leo,
"Boy, here you won't have any problems. Nobody will bother you or ask you for money. Continue with your ideas, and if we can give you a hand so that outside you can also do your things."
It was very good to leave a good impression on the first night, and that a capo gave him the green light. That night Leo had gotten his right to a flat and his personal integrity. He no longer ran any risks. The next morning everyone got up very early. Leo's life was monotonous. In prison, he became the friend of a couple of inmates, and there were days when they talked for hours. He always spoke to them about the Claritarian. On November 22, 2017, as he had planned, the mail was activated and the files were sent to Leo's friends. That day, the compressed file was downloaded more than 500 times, and every day more and more people obtained the Claritarian files. Everyone wanted to see it. It was fascinating how the files expanded, and that was what Leo wanted. The poor people did not know about them, they had no contact with the outside world. He was serving his sentence, doing the same things every day, getting up in the morning, eating, doing some activities, eating again, and especially sleeping very early. Of the 8 years, 9 months had already passed. Leo was going crazy. He wrote, erased, and spoke about it to everyone. What was happening to him was a strange thing. In prison, everyone knew about Leo and his plans. Many took them as joke or something that would never happen. The biggest argument was that the politicians were not going to let him do anything and that at the end they would kill him. They recommended him to stop thinking about the subject because he was going to get sick. They asked him to think about it once he was out of prison, to create a political party of his own. From that point on, he would start to change things. It was the year 2025, Leo was about to finish his sentence. There were about 3 months left. The days did not end, the minutes seemed hours. Every day, he was waiting for the announcement of his departure. The world had entered a new stage of economic relations between the countries. The central banks of all the countries announced the same message one day: money, both bills and coins, would be eliminated and everything would become cryptomoney. It was the old Bitcoin, what all the banks now took. The world was dominated by artificial intelligence. All the networks were already connected to that unique system. The social networks sent all the information to the same artificial intelligence. Health, education, and finances were monitored under the supervision of AI. This AI processed all the data, it knew everything about everyone. The New World Order had fulfilled its agenda in pure letter. Bridge did not exist anymore. What there was a global network that had all the people registered in it. Control and monitoring chips in human bodies were very common. The level of slavery of the people was at its maximum, and the change seemed to be almost impossible. But Leo did not think that way. As the saying goes, in something bad, there is always something good. Seeing all the change, it seemed to him that that was what he wanted. He had talked about that in prison for days and days. He wanted to build that AI and add the Claritarian. His idea was to connect it to the system and synchronize it. Although now everything was more advanced, the AI worked perfectly. The anger of the people was at their equinox. The future prepared a surprise for Leo. He expected good news from his lawyers. It was true that it took like 5 years, but in the end, they could make a claim against Bridge. It seems that the files that Leo left on his computer were investigated by federal police agents who discovered that Bridge had illegal activities in Argentina. They worked with a military espionage system and had a project called Black Door. It was an access to all computers and cell phones of the most important people in the country. In a few words, they were collecting data from all the people of the government in office. The government of Argentina accused Bridge severely for this project. But Bridge in the court refused the accusations and said that they were pilot projects that were in development, but they were never executed. Obviously, no one believed them, and therefore, Bridge, by the decision of the Supreme Court, left Argentina in 2023. That history was on television. It was also in the media. Everyone was talking about it, and they were also talking about Leo. In some media, he was a hero, in some others, he was a thief. It was on the front pages of newspapers. Many people already knew the story, the reasons, why, and what he did it for. It was the polemic of the month, just before Leo was given his freedom. In Buenos Aires lived Michaela. Michaela Regen, that was her name. A young, intelligent, and astute woman. She was very beautiful and also millionaire. She was very noble, always correct, very social, and extroverted. She was nice, good-looking, and righteous. She did not tolerate lies in any way. From the beginning, she always had horse farms and exported them. She loved horses from her childhood. You can say that she was born already having one. On the nights of her free time, she watched programs on television and also followed Leo's story. She liked his story. She liked it so much that one day she said, "I'm going to meet that young man." That was Michaela. When something got in her head, she had to do it. She was one of those who fell in love quickly. Then she began to follow more programs on the subject, and to her surprise, the young Leo was already out of prison. They were taking him from one program to another. He was interviewed and he kept on talking about the Claritarian. Everyone liked the way Bridge left the country, paying a $1 billion fine. Bridge left, however, it would return with a new network. Every day, Michaela watched almost every program where Leo spoke. She felt more and more the desire to see him. She had ideas and plans for Leo. Would she be in love? She herself didn't know it. But she wanted to see him and talk to him. She had a lot of contacts, and with their help, she one day decided to look for him. She spoke with some of her friends, and one of them seemed to have information about the next event Leo would attend. Time had come. It was Friday, and Michaela went to the event. It was an exhibition of modern art that was based on showing the protest against the new system that had been adopted in Argentina and the rest of the countries. To that event, Leo was invited as a fighter against the system. Emotions were on the rocks. Leo was looking at a work called The Pyramid when Michaela came up and asked aloud,
"Who did all this?"
When Leo heard the question, he had a feeling of deja vu. That was the question that he asked himself every day. But he knew the answer, so he responded to her.
"Politicians. Who else?"
"Sorry?"
Leo realized that those words came out of his mind, and he retracted.
"No, I mean, this work was done by Gregorio Sanders."
Trying to cover with a smile what he had just said. Michaela smiled, with eyes of a color similar to lapis lazuli, which illuminated the work more. The two smiled and looked at each other. 1 second seemed to have lasted a minute.
"My name is Michaela."
She held out her hand.
"And you are the famous Leo, right?"
Leo's eyebrows rose.
"Yeah, yes. I'm not that famous, but I'm Leo."
They began to walk together from one work to another. Seeing the works, they passed the whole hall without speaking. They watched the works, and every now and then they exchanged glances. When they finished, at the exit, Michaela handed him her business card and said,
I know you are in trouble and I'd like to talk to you or take something on the day you want. Contact me and we'll talk.
Sacred Mademoiselle,
said Leo. With a smile, he keeps the card in his wallet.
Agree.
The two said goodbye. It seemed to Leo that this beautiful woman was very daring. And he thought, well, I'm going to call and see what she has in mind. Very early the next day, he took his cell phone and called her. No one answered, then he left a message for Michaela. After 2 minutes, she returned the call and arranged to meet in the afternoon in Recoleta, in a bar to have a drink together. After so many years in prison, it was good for Leo to see a beautiful woman who invites him to drink something. It was not bad, nothing bad, he repeated in his mind. The day came when Michaela and Leo were going to meet. Both were excited. Leo wanted to know more about Michaela, and Michaela thought the same. Things happen, and sometimes it takes a long time for ideas to materialize, for two people to see each other and be able to complete their mission in this life. That seemed to be the case, fate crossed them.
The most important meetings were planned by the souls even before the bodies were seen. Paulo Coelho.
Leo entered the bar. He came walking through all Recoleta and arrived a little late. Michaela was already waiting for him. They greeted each other and both had a smile that illuminated the room. That was a sign that indicated that they were going to talk for a long time.
Well, here I am. How are you doing? What's the story? How did a beautiful woman invite me to have dinner?
Well, the thing is that I've heard a lot about you, and it seems that I'm very curious. Better tell me, what was it? What did you steal from Bridge?
She smiled and goes on.
Did you steal from Bridge the same thing they are robbing everyone?
Yes, well, I did not steal anything. I just borrowed something that helped me develop the Clarotyrian. If you want, I'll tell you what it is and what it's for.
Yes, of course. I'm interested to know what motivated a young man to do that feat and spend 10 years in prison.
Well, then.
He continues to tell how it happened, and in the end, he added that now what he stole is in the network.
It can be downloaded and there are versions and modifications of other programmers.
Now, what are you going to do? You have plans? New robberies?
Says Michaela while she is laughing.
Of course not. We have all night to drink and eat. Please, go on. How? There are no voters?
No more voters. All are candidates to be elected.
And who chooses if nobody votes?
Michaela did not understand and had a smile of amazement.
And what is the process like? If I want, can I apply with my profile without problems to be chosen, for example, President of Argentina? Okay. Then, if 5,000 people register to be president? Well, but then what do you need to implement this system? It seems that everything is very clear.
Yes, everything is clear, but for now I have another plan.
What plan? Another hack?
Yes, yes, another hack, but this time I'm not going to hack a server but life itself.
How? What kind of virus are you talking about? Hacking life itself?
I'm thinking of writing a book about the Clarotyrian and selling it for free.
Hey. I do not understand anything. And what will that give you? They're going to steal your idea. You are crazy. You still have a long way to go. You know? I will help you on that path.
That day, Leo started writing his book. He was not a great writer. It was his first book, he wrote as he could. Emotions did not leave him alone. He wrote, erased, and wrote again. He was obsessed with work. In a few days, he had the idea raised about what and how the book was going to be written. He wanted to show it to everyone, but he didn't have anyone. Of his old friends, there was no one left. A week has passed, the book took shape. In the book he wrote exactly how the Clarotyrian should be. It was like a manual for using software, all written in detail. It was something more like a novel and science fiction instead of a user manual. It was not easy for him to write the book, but with small steps he advanced. It was almost ready. As you can imagine, the first person who was going to read it was Michaela. Leo called Michaela very early.
Hello, dear Michaela. I already have it. I have the book written and I want to pass by and show it to you. I'll be available in the afternoon, of course, if you are not busy.
Hello, Leo. What a joy, at last you finished it. It did not take long, right? It is not a very big book. Come and we'll read it together.
All right. I'll pass by in the afternoon.
I'll be waiting for you. Ciao. A kiss.
Leo hung up the phone and went to his desk to gather the papers of the book he had printed. There were not many, it was his first book. His first idea of doing more than programming. In the afternoon, Leo went to Michaela's house. Her house was very large. It was a whole field with several villas. It also had stables, pastures, and an artificial lake. It was something very nice and very big. It was clear that Michaela had a very good life. Leo rang the doorbell and the automatic doors opened. He started to walk towards the door of the house. Michaela was waiting for him at the door.
Let the writer pass,
said Michaela. Michaela was smiling as usual.
Hello, dear Michaela. With permission.
Come in. There's the living room up ahead. Make yourself at home, said Michaela.
Leo went to the chair and sat down, putting his papers on the mouse table. At last, here is my creation. Here you have the book, and he brought the papers to Michaela.
You can read, there are not many pages.
Michaela started reddened and saw that the book was telling Leo's story, many things she already knew.
And what do you think? Can we publish this as a little book?
Wait, Leo, let me read more. From what I see, you have all the details of the Clarotyrian. Aren't you afraid of being robbed of the idea?
Leo was expecting that question. Everyone asked him the same question, and he already had the answer some time ago.
I thought a lot about that. I thought in many ways to make my ideas come true. But there's always someone who is ahead of you or who has problems in the realization part. At this moment my idea is just that. Let them read it and steal the idea. I'll be happy that someone can steal it and make it come true. If you finish reading the book, you'll see that it says who is stealing the idea and who is going to implement it. The book is a virus that will reprogram the future. You tell me if you like it and if we can publish it.
Yes, yes, of course we can. It's not something very big. Have to take it to an agency that will be responsible for publishing and disseminating it. I'll do it these days. I don't know how much we have to pay, but we won't have any problem with the money.
After looking into Leo's eyes, she said after a pause,
You are crazy. What do you want? Hack our reality? Is that what you want? You say that the book is a virus? How is it possible that a book is a virus?
Indeed, the book is going to be like a Trojan virus. You know? I will not be able to program or hack the AI, nor will I be able to implement the program by myself. You have already seen the end of the first attempt. The 10 years have made me more intelligent. I learned not to go against the current but to be part of it, and to make the change be inside and not from outside. We should not leave suspicions that politicians have to be left obsolete, because they will look for you and everything will end badly. The book is somewhat harmless. Nobody will give it any importance, but over time it will be in the minds of people. It is there where I want it to be. Everyone must know that change can be made and that politicians can never again form dynasties and exploit the population at will. No one can come and say that he was chosen by the majority, which gives him the right to do what he wants. Everyone will settle for his work like other people. A human must not vote for another human. Look where we arrived, centuries passed and nothing has changed. I'm convinced that the choice of the AI is going to be much better. Those who will be in charge after being elected, will not have any reason to accumulate unjustified wealth or try to last longer. Everything will be decided by the AI. Well, what do you think? Are we going to work?
The following week, Leo's book passed by the hands of several publishers. It was corrected and finally published by a not very recognized company. For his part, he digitized the book and it was already in online stores. It had messages like "Find out how the oligarchies end." Politicians are obsolete, they do not possess absolute power anymore. In a short time, online sales were growing. The book was in many stores. In some places, it was the bestseller of the week, and all that was an amazing victory for Leo. People liked to read that book. After a month of being on sale, some great publishers were interested to see the book and be able to publish it again. Leo was happy. The book was sold, and more publishers were asking about the book. It was also translated into several languages. It was a great achievement for him to write a book and see how little by little people bought it. It seemed to him that his plan could one day work. You never know the paths that life holds for us. And Leo did not know it either. The book was very popular. Some began to comment and criticize it. They asked if they would make a film based on the book, since it contained a very current topic. A nice day, Leo receives the call from an agency.
Good morning. Can I talk to Leo?
Yes, he is speaking.
Leo, we are a company that is dedicated to making films and our manager's office is interested in your book. We would like to know if we can make an appointment with you for this coming Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. in our head office.
Okay. I'll be there at that time. Thank you.
We'll be waiting for you. Bye.
Another great day for Leo. People who were interested in the book in film format appeared. Although he did not imagine it, that was in accordance with his ideas. His plan was underway, his book opened the way on its own. Once the ideas begin to come to life, they begin to live by themselves. On Wednesday at 2:30, Leo was in the company. It was the very product company that produced one release after another. These people did have money and the resources to make a good movie. Leo quickly passed the checkpoint and got into the elevator up to the top floor, where the managers were waiting for him. He went to the secretariat, greeted the secretary, and announced his presence. The secretary looked at the agenda and said,
"Come in, sir. They're waiting for you in the meeting room."
Leo got up and started walking towards the door. His heart was beating fast. He did not know what they would ask him and what he could answer. He went to the door, lowered the handle, and entered.
"Excuse me."
"Yes, come on. Take a seat, dear Leo, and let's talk about the topic we are interested in talking with you. My name is Alberto, and I am the general director of Prodoc. I was reading your book and I like the story, and I like more each time I find out that many people also like it. You made very good sales with the book, didn't you?"
"Yes, I did. It is something that attracts people, and more because of how the situation is today. Only the idea that politicians will stop being what they are now attracts many readers. I also believe that the book is showing the way of how to change our lives so that the world becomes a better place. There's nothing new in this world. What I tried to revive was an old machine, the Clarotirion. In the book I explain in detail the way I wanted to program it."
"We also liked the idea. It is something new and current. And in fact, we are business people and we see a lot of potential in this book if we turn it into a movie. Are you interested in an adaptation of the book in film format?"
"Of course. I honestly did not think I would go that far. I cannot imagine how to turn it into a movie. The book you see is sold at a very low cost. I will never raise enough money to pay for a production, although I admit that the idea of making a movie is very good. What should I do?"
"You, nothing. We take care of doing everything. We just need to negotiate with you about the rights and those things. Our lawyers have already prepared a contract for you to see, and if you agree, you will sign and give us the green light. Take, here is a copy of the contract. You can take it and read it at home, and you can give us your answer on Friday. In general terms, we offer you a percentage of the profits after the movie comes out and also a fee as the author of the book."
Leo was dizzy. He wanted to say, "Yes, go ahead. Where do I have to sign?" But, no. He would have to take the contract and come back on Friday.
"Well, it seems to me that by Friday I will have the answer. Now, with your permission, I'm leaving,"
said Leo. He said goodbye to those present and left. He does not remember well how he left the building, but on the way home, he thought he was floating in the air. He was full of joy, and the first thing he did at the first crossing was call Michaela.
"Hello, Michaela. You know, They already gave me the contract and I'm going to see you to find out what it is about. Today I went to the offices of Pro Duke and they offered to make a film of the book.
Hello. Wow, Leo, that's impressive. I think your plan is working. Come and let's see the offer.
Yes, there I go.
He cuts and immediately calls a taxi.
Please, we have to go to the Margaritas 456. It's a bit far from the center, but I'm happy, so go ahead.
During the time he spent in the taxi, Leo was reading the contract. And in fact, there were many sheets, terms and conditions, privacy, standard things. Some things talked about the obligations and benefits. He looked at everything quickly. It took about 2 hours to get to Michaela's house. He got out of the taxi after paying and walked to the gate. As usual, Michaela was at the door of the house. She opened the gate and Leo, almost running, went in.
Look, Michaela, here I have the papers to sign. And also look at my fees, about $600,000. They will pay me more as soon as they finish the movie. That is a lot of money.
The two sit in the chair and Leo, holding his face with his hands, says,
No, no. It is working. The idea of the Clariterion will continue to expand. Now imagine, if the movie comes out, the expansion will be more massive and perhaps the plan reaches its final goal. I have to go there tomorrow and sign the documents.
Yes, it's okay. I'm reading and there's nothing stopping you from signing. They will keep most of the profits, as always.
All right, I'll sign them on Friday. And whatever happens, now let's celebrate. I'm very happy.
So am I. You are crazy, but I'm sure you will achieve your goal. Let's drink. Give me a hug, crazy man.
Well, that day, the two slept together. On Friday, Leo got up early, put on his formal clothes, grabbed his suitcase, and called a taxi. After a few minutes, he was traveling to the offices of the production company. He arrived on time, passed by the control, and stayed waiting for the elevator. He would have to go up to the top floor. The managers and lawyers of the company were waiting for him. Leo leaves the elevator and walks towards the door. At the door, they were waiting for him.
Please, take a seat, sir. From your face, I see that you come with great joy. Let's sign and let's film. Said the general manager, how did you find the documents?
Thank you very much. Yes, I agree with the contract and the fees. You just tell me where I have to sign.
The lawyer of the company approaches with a tablet and says,
Sign here. Also put your fingerprint. That's enough.
With pleasure.
It was the first time Leo signed a contract of that magnitude. His hand and fingers were trembling. That was a lot of emotion in such a short time.
Ready. Here is everything. We have already signed, said the lawyer.
Let's toast the movie. Let's make it as good as the book, said the general manager.
I know it will be good. We just have to wait. The world needs to rest from politicians and their dirty games. I hope the movie opens a path for a true change. I hope humans will never vote for humans again. They are pure deceptions that have been going on for centuries. I hope that all this ends once and for all.
The next days and months Leo was spending his money. He did not buy the house he wanted, but he moved to live with Michaela. After so many years of suffering, now he was happy. An old and forgotten idea gave him life. They were enjoying life, traveling and doing new things that they could never do before. They were spending time and money. Time passed, and 6 months later the company announced the date of the premiere. It was July 12, 2025. They estimated almost a year to finish the film. The movie was called just like the book, The Clariterion. On July 12, 2027, just the day of Leo's birthday, the film was released throughout the US, and a week later in the main cities of the world. It was as they expected. It was in the top 10 of the box office in the whole world. The marketing part worked very well. It was a fantasy that everyone at some point wanted to see fulfilled. The Clariterion was already in the minds of many, and every day the power of Leo's idea increased. They were having a debate. In what television channel could it be done or not? How would it actually work? Would it be good for them to let an AI make decisions for the human being? There were many questions. The debates went on, and on a day like today, the elites of the world, considering the idea, made the decision to try it in a country in Latin America. That country was Argentina. The new voting system was approved by the Senate, and by 2027, their elections would have to be submitted to the Clarotarian. Everyone could participate, and a human won't vote for a human anymore. We would have to wait and see how this would transform people's lives after the elections. It was a day like today, but now everything was different.